Help me thank Brother Oscar Ford for substituting with the organ, and now he's at the piano. Thank God for his versatility.
God's grace, yes, so wonderful. God's grace is so merciful. God's grace keeps me every day. God's grace, His grace is sufficient for me. God's grace starting me on my way. God's grace is the light to my path. God's grace brought me out of darkness. It's sufficient for me. God's grace starting me on my way. God's grace, His grace is the light to my path. God's grace brought me out of darkness. God's grace, I know it is sufficient for me. God's grace, His grace is sufficient for me. Grace, God's grace, His grace will give me the victory. I fall Saved thus far.
Sister Jackson, how many of you know something about God's amazing grace? His grace is sufficient. Well, I stand between you and your Father's Day brunch. Mrs. Jemison is going to feed us after the service. So you won't have to go to the Mingo for your brunch. You can stay here at Second Baptist immediately following the service and enjoy a delicious meal prepared by Mrs. Jemison and some of the youth of our church. It's the leftover hot dogs and chili from Vacation Bible School. So please stay and share in that wonderful meal that Tina Dickerson and the ladies fixed for us. Lord our God, we give you thanks again for preaching privilege, the opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk and to break the bread of life. We pray now for the power that is yours to share with me and to proclaim in the word of God. Honor me with your presence and with your power. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. And all the people of God who love God said amen.
Amen.
I'm going to try to get you out by 12. What time is it? 12:20. 12:20 now. I'm going to try to get you out by 12:35. Reverend S.M. Wright, the pastor, the late Reverend S.M. Wright, the pastor of the People's Baptist Church in Dallas, he would get to preaching and then he would remember that the time was short and he would say, I'm going to honk this off with a holler. So if I honk it off with a holler, just say, we know he can do better. We know he can do better. There's a word from the Lord that comes to us on this Father's Day. The title of the message, the subject and the title is, Father, there's greatness in your son. See if I can set this up. Saul, the first king of Israel, of the people of God, the people of God had been in the presence of the worshipers of idol gods and in the presence of persons who had a king. They were feeling sort of left out, and so they said, "We want a king. We want a God that a king that can rule over us." God had already been sufficient for them. He had already led them from bondage to freedom, had led them through the wilderness, their 40-year experience, place that they could have gone in a matter of days. It took them 40 years to get there. Why do you think it took them 40 years to get to the land of Canaan? Why? Because of their disobedience and lack of trust, and because of their murmuring, because of their complaining. God needed to take time to work with them to make sure that they understood that He was God and that He was God all by Himself. And so they chose a king. His name was Saul. Saul was a man of great stature, tall and broad shoulders, and a warrior. They chose Saul, and God allowed Saul to rule over His people until Saul disappointed God. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, "Don't disappoint God, because God will fire you." Oh, help me somebody. A lot of us have disappointed God because we have went looking for things and not for God. The Bible tells us, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these other things, His righteousness and all these other things shall be added unto you." Saul now has disappointed God. God speaks to Samuel. You remember Samuel, don't you? Samuel is the son of the woman, Hannah, who asked God to give her a child, a male child, a man child, so that he would have the opportunity to serve in the kingdom, in the sanctuary. And so the Bible says that the name Samuel means asked of God. Can I say something to you, Second Baptist? Ask God for what you want, and God will give it to you. He will give it to you. Sometimes it may not come when you want it, but it will come. And sometimes God does not show up when you want Him. But can I tell you something? He will show up. The singer this morning told us He's an on-time God. He may not come when you want Him, but He's always on time. Right on time. Just when you need Him most. Oh, yeah. Let me just go back to my three Hebrew boys. They said, "We will not bow. Our God is able to deliver us." And they did not bow. And just when they needed Him the most, when the fire was seven times hotter, oh, yeah. The Bible says that the king who sent them down there, who heated up the fire seven times hotter, guess what? He goes down, he looks, and he says, "I put in three, but I see four, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God." Won't God show up when you're going through the heat of your disappointments and the heat of your lack of employment and the heat of disappointment? God will show up. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, he will. Should Daniel will tell you he'll show up and lock the lion's jaw. Oh man, can you imagine a hungry lion ready to eat, and here comes new flesh, and guess what? All of a sudden he loses his appetite because God took it. God will show up. Bible says that here Samuel is appointed by God as His prophet to go down and help select a king, a replacement. for Saul. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, God has a replacement for you. Oh, y'all don't want to say that, do you? God has a replacement for you. Now I'm not talking about husband and wives now. I'm not talking about that. I saw a wife punch her husband and say, God got a replacement. No, that's not what the pastor talking about. Thank you. That's not what I'm talking about. If you don't want to do right in God's house, God has a replacement for you. So just say, Pastor, he got a replacement for you. Musician, he got a replacement for you. Usher, he got a replacement for you. I'm not talking about your home. I'm talking about in the church. And the Bible says that he sends him down to Jesse's house. He goes down to Jesse's house. And guess what? When the prophet comes to Jesse's house, Jesse and the rest are afraid. And they are afraid. But guess what? The Lord tells the prophet to tell Jesse that you come down to the sacrifice. I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. Let's look now at that seventh verse. The sixth and the seventh verse. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord anointed is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance. Touch your neighbor and tell your neighbor, neighbor, the Lord don't care what you look like. Come on, help me now. The Lord doesn't care what you look like. Look not upon his countenance or on the height of his stature. Look at the neighbor and tell your neighbor, the Lord don't care how tall you are. Y'all not listening. Daniel Martin, too tall? The Lord don't care how tall you are. You remember Zacchaeus was short, climbed up that sycamore tree to see Jesus, and he saw him and brought him down and went to his house. So the Lord don't care what you look like or how tall you are. The Lord said unto him, Samuel, look not on his countenance, on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh at the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on their heart. And Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this. And again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are there all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and were all of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Father, your son, there's greatness in your son. Guess what? He was the youngest, the baby in the family. He was not a warrior. He had no experience in fighting wars. He was red complexion. He was good to look at. But the Lord did not accept his brothers who had the experience as warriors, who were tall, probably dark and handsome, just like Deacon Johnson. Oh, y'all didn't catch that. Oh, I should have said just like Reverend Jimerson. Y'all would have caught that one. But he was a keeper of the sheep. Three quick points and a yell. Three things I want to share with you. He was responsible. Every father ought to see in their children people who are responsible. That you can give them a job and that they will do that job to the best of their ability. David, the youngest of Jesse's son, had the responsibility of watching over the sheep. He was a shepherd, a keeper of sheep. He faced fear in the face and grew stronger. Eleanor Roosevelt said, you gain strength, courage, and confidence by every experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You're able to say to yourself, I have lived through this horror, and I can take the next thing that come along. To achieve greatness, we must do the thing we think we cannot do. We must do the thing that we think that we cannot do. He was a keeper of the sheep. And listen to this. He was responsible for what was placed in his hands. He was responsible for every sheep of his father's fold. And guess what? He defended the sheep. There's a message here. Every pastor, every clergy person that the Lord puts in charge of his sheep should be willing to lay down his life for the sheep. Should be responsible for the soul of the people that God places under his pastorage. And so you wonder why Pastor Jimerson is careful about who teaches and who preaches. It is because I am responsible for your soul. If your soul dies outside of hearing the word of God, it's because I didn't preach the word of God to you and allowed a wolf to come and snatch your life. But guess what? As long as I live and there's breath in this body, and as long as I'm pastor of this church, guess what? I'm willing to lay down my life to give what I have for the care of the sheep. You remember Goliath stands before the children of Israel and says, choose you this day a man to come down and fight with me. If he wins, then the Philistines will serve your God. But if I win, you will serve our God. There they stand. David hears Goliath, and he asks the question, what's going on? And his brothers are there. These great warriors are there, but they are afraid. They are facing fear, but they are afraid. Greatness is not in them because they let fear champion their lives. And guess what? David cries out, what's going on? Here's the Philistine again cry out, choose you this day a man. And this is what David says. Now I'm talking about the shepherd boy. I'm talking about the shepherd boy without experience as a warrior, without going to school to learn how to fight. He says, let no man heart fail thy servant will go. I will go. I will let my life be taken as necessary for the cause of God. So he does not go. He does not run from the challenge. Fathers, your sons have greatness in them because they will not run from the challenge. If the challenge is given, life or death, they will say, I will fight for the cause of Christ. If given the opportunity, is given the chance. So David stands before King Saul, and Saul said, you cannot go, for you but a youth. Young people, just listen to me here. God can use you no matter what your age, no matter what your agenda is. God can use you to deliver the people that we call Second Baptist from the clutches of sin and death. David said, let no man's heart fail, thy servant will go. Saul said, but you don't have the experience. You don't know. Look, that's a giant out there. But can I tell you something, Second Baptist, no matter how tall, no matter how fat, no matter how short, no matter how skinny, whatever giant stands in your way, God can move him. God can move whatever he or she. It doesn't matter. God has the power to move it. David said, I remember, I'm talking about responsibility. David said, I remember when a lion and a bear attacked my father's flock, my father's sheep. I took the lamb out of the mouth of the lion and out of the paws of the bear. I rendered the evil helpless because I had responsibility of caring for the sheep. Secondly, your child, your son, has greatness in him. And your child has greatness in him or her because they can take advantage of adversity. David took advantage of adversity. You know, life is filled with adversity. We find it in the church. We find it in the home. We find it on the job. We find it in the schoolroom. Life is filled with adversity. Adversity always gets our attention. We cannot ignore it. It causes us to stop and look at our situation. And if we have the courage to look at it ourselves, most of the time we do not choose our adversity, but all the time we can choose our response to it. Do I need to say that again? We don't choose adversity, but we can choose how we respond to it. There's a story about a young woman who complained to her father about her life and how hard things were for her. The adversity of life was overwhelming. It had caused her to enter into a time of depression. She wanted to give up. As her father listened, he filled three pots with water, brought them to her, placed them on a stove to boil the water. In the first pot, he put carrots sliced. Listen carefully. Into the second pot, he put eggs. And into the third pot, he put ground coffee beans. He let them simmer for a few minutes and then placed the carrots, eggs, and coffee before her in three containers. What do you see? He asked. She said, I see carrots, eggs, and coffee. He asked her to feel the carrots. She picked up a piece and it squashed in her hand between her fingers. He then asked her to examine an egg. She picked up one broke the shell and saw the hard-boiled egg inside of it. Finally, he asked her to sip the coffee. She smiled as she tasted the rich flavor. "So what does it mean?" she asked. Father said each ingredient was subject to the same thing, boiling water. But each reacted differently. The carrots went in hard, but after they were in the boiling water, they became soft. The eggs were fragile with a thin outer shell and a liquid interior, but it became hard. The coffee beans changed little, but they changed the water for the best. What are you when you're faced with adversity? How do you respond? Are you a carrot? Are you an egg? Or are you a coffee? David said, "Look here. Adversity is before me, but I will go and fight this Philistine." I've heard what he said. The Philistine looked and saw David coming and said, "Am I not a dog that you come to me? Am I not a dog? Am I nothing that you show up before me?" Here, David had stopped by the brook and picked up 5 smooth stones. Goliath stands before him with his armament. He stands before him with his shield. He stands before him with a brass helmet. He stands before him with a breastplate. He stands before him with iron gloves and with a spear. And yet he says, "Who are you coming before me? Am I not a dog? I'm looking at you and you are next to nothing. I'm going to take your life, cut your head off." But guess what? David looks at him and he says, "The battle is not mine. It's the Lord. You can look at me and think that I have nothing, but there is something within me that I cannot explain. There's a power in me that is of God. The battle is not mine, it's the Lord." Is there anybody here that know that when you're going through, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's? No matter what people say, no matter what supervisors do, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. And so David takes one stone. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, "It doesn't take but one." With the power of God, it does not take but one. He had 5, but he chose one. Takes that one. I like what the old preacher said. He takes it and he put it in a slingshot. We used to have a name when I was growing up for slingshots. He took that slingshot and put that stone in it. Can I tell you who I think that stone was? That stone was Jesus the Christ. For you see, at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess. If you just call upon the name of Jesus, he makes everything all right. For he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He puts the name of Jesus. Began to twirl it. The old preacher said, "One twirl for the Father. One twirl for the Son. One twirl for the Holy Ghost." And when he got to the Holy Ghost, he let it go. Is there anybody here know something about the power of the Holy Ghost? There's greatness in the power of the Holy Ghost. "These things, said Jesus, that I do, greater things shall you do. And you shall be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Ghost." When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't fear knocking on doors and telling people about the name of Jesus. You don't fear being a witness for Christ. That's what the songwriter says. "My soul is a witness for the Lord." The Bible says that that stone after being let loose from it goes, all of that protection is not enough. Jesse did not see the greatness in his son, but God saw the potential in David to make him king. Why? Finally, because David knew who God was. You have to take responsibility when it's given to you. And then you have to use the name of God and Christ. But you got to know him for yourself. I've ever told you about the time I used to sit on the mourner's bench. I was, I guess, about 7 years old. And I was sitting on the mourner's bench. My time is up, but I was sitting on the mourner's bench. I was down there because everybody else went down. I wasn't trying to get anything. I'm just down there because she was down. I mean, he was down there. They got up and went down. I got up and went down. I didn't get anything. You know, you don't always get it the first time, the second time, or the third time. But that Sunday morning, I was down by myself. What? Nobody came down. I just thought you're supposed to sit on the front row. Governor J.J. Thompson said, "Is there anybody here that want to be like Jesus? Is there anybody here that want to be strong in the power of his might?" And I'm a little boy sitting there, and I had on these black and white shoes. Y'all know the shoes. Come on now. Somebody here is as old as a pastor. No, they weren't Oxford. If they were, they were Goodwill Oxford. Y'all missed that too. Buster Brown. Thank you. I'm sitting there with my shoes, and they weren't shining because, and the holes in my pants, shirt too big because it was a hand-me-down from my brother. But guess what? When that pastor said to me and to the congregation, "Whatever you need, God's got it.
Amen.
Whatever you want to be, God can make you be it. If you're hungry, he'll feed you. If you're naked, he'll clothe you. If there's rain coming in your house, he'll be a shelter over you." When I heard that and looked at my situation, I got up. I came to Jesus as I was, weary, wounded, and sad. And guess what? I found in him a resting place. And he has made me glad. Thank God that there's greatness when you give your life to Christ. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor, "Neighbor,
neighbor,
you can be great in Christ." Be responsible. Take advantages of adversity. And know who God is. I wish I had time to talk to you about who he is, but I'll do that next Sunday. He's the Rose of Sharon. He's the Lily of the Valley. He's the bright and morning star. He's the rock hewed out of the mountain. He is Ezekiel's horse plying in the valley. And he's Ezekiel's wheel in the middle of the wheel. The little wheel runs by faith. The big wheel runs by the grace of God. Church's invitation is extended. We ask you to come. Deacons are coming. Church. Ask the church to stand. Come on. bless you. Thank you. We see you coming. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
It's good to know Jesus. Everybody ought to know Jesus. He's the lily of the valley, bright as morning star. Good to know.
God bless you. We see you coming.
It's good to know Jesus. Everybody ought to know Jesus. He's Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. It's good to know. To Jesus, just as I was. I was weary, wounded, and sad. But you know what? I found in Him a sweet old resting place, and He has made me glad. Oh, it's good to know.
Good to know
Jesus.
Be seated. Deacon Shelton, would you share with us the report?
Reverend Jemison and members of Second Baptist, we have with us today Mrs. Michelle Jones and Mr. Williams Jones, desiring to be members of Second Baptist based on their Christian experience. They also have with them Zazelle Jones, and she desired to be a member and to be baptized here at Second Baptist.
I met the Joneses last week, I think it was a week before. They came in to register their loved one, their daughter, for the day camp. And we got to talking, and I promised the young lady here, if she came to the day camp, if she came to church next Sunday, which was Youth Day, that we would that we would give her 1 week free. She may get $500. $5. Say $5. So she said, I'll be there. And her parents, her guardian said, okay, we coming too. And they're not coming to the day camp. Y'all not getting $5 in a free. But they are here to become a part of Second Baptist Church. Second Baptist, I thank God for the growth that I see. Last Sunday we took in 3 people, and today is 3, that's 6. So in this month, when it seems like you need to give up, God refreshes. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let me pray with you. Lord, our God, we give you thanks for these persons who've come, the Joneses. They have come to identify with the body of Christ that we call Second Baptist. We ask your blessings upon them. We pray for their membership in Second Baptist, that whatever they desire to do, that's according to your will, that be done. We bless your name for this young girl and pray that the dreams that the family has for her and the plans that you have for her will come to fruition. Bless her, bless this family, and keep them in your care. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Now, Second Baptist is a working church, so I'm going to ask Wheatley. Where's Wheatley? Wheatley, will you come? Will you come and introduce yourself to her? Give her a big hug and tell her you look forward to membership in Second Baptist. Go ahead, Wheatley. Okay, guess you. I said, give her a hug. All right. Thank you. Yeah, I know. And now, this is a man that has joined Second Baptist. Can you sing?
No.
You can't sing? Okay, we hope nothing wrong with your feet, because he's taking you to be an usher. All right, thank you. That's Deacon Brown. I need a lady. I need a lady for this young lady. I need somebody that... Y'all don't want her in the mission? Y'all don't want her? Thank you. This is Mrs. Olison. Mrs. Olison comes to receive you. All right. Deacon Johnson is standing. He wants you to go to Sunday school with him, the two of you. Class number 2. All right. There's a Girl Scout lady coming to put you in Girl Scouts. Okay, they're going to take her right now to work with the hot dogs. All right, thank you. Yeah, she good. Got a job. Welcome. Good to have you guys. And we have one more, Mrs. Hutt.
Yes, Pastor, we have one more, Mrs. Elizabeth Davis, and this is the mother of our Deacon Hutt.
Mrs. Davis, we welcome you. I've known you now you want to face the crowd? All right. She wants y'all to see her. I want to face the crowd. All right. 26 years ago we met, and I was teasing Deacon Hudson, saying, when you going to bring my girlfriend up here and let her join church? Man, you better leave my mama alone. But she's here to become a part of Second Baptist. She comes from that. One year, she come from that town in Alabama. What's the name of that town?
Grand Bay.
The church is Grand Bay. She comes on her Christian experience. And the name of your town? Providence Baptist Church. And she comes on the watch care. We're going to watch and we're going to care for you. Now, the only thing a watch care member can't do in Second Baptist is vote the pastor out. You can't vote me out. All right. You have no voting rights at Second Baptist. But we'll accept everything that the Lord has given you. We welcome you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this woman of faith who has come, bringing experience, bringing affirmation that God is good. We thank you, our God, that she has fulfilled responsibilities in the past. Now you give her another chance to work in this vineyard, and we praise you for it. We bless your name that she has owned the armaments of God.
the name of Jesus. Thank you for her faith and for her desire to work in the body of Christ. Honor her by blessing the home where she lives. We pray for her son, Deacon Hudson, and for her daughter-in-law, Karen, for her grandchildren. May her living in that home create and solidify all that you would have them to be. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Welcome. Good to have you. I need a sister. Okay, Sister Young comes to receive you. Sister Young is coming. Now you may say, well, Reverend Jimison, you know, I'm senior and I can't do much. We're going to give you a phone book. And you're going to call members and wish them happy birthday. You're going to start in A and go to Z. You call two or three a week and tell them you're new to the church and you want to say hello and you want their name. And you're not calling for any mess. You're just calling to say hello. All right. Thank you. That's all you got to do. All right. Sister Johnson is here. Yeah, she wants her purse. All right, church is standing. We're ready to go. Do not forget the Father Day meal is outside. If y'all don't see me with a hot dog in my hand, that's because I want Jackie to take me somewhere to eat. Amen. And now, God, we pray that you would come and go with us. Dismiss us from this building, but never from your presence. And may your power be in us, before us, and behind us, pushing us toward excellence in service to you and meeting the needs of humankind. We bless your name for this Father's Day and for every man, for every male that stands in this place. And the people of God said amen, and they went away rejoicing. Hallelujah. Are you an egg? Are you a carrot? Are you the coffee?
Sasha.